All right. So this is the title of my message. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? So I just wanted to share something to, well, first of all, Pastor Jim asked me to preach. Obviously, I'm not him. He asked me to preach this weekend because his wife's surgery is coming up and she wanted to do something before, something fun before she had to go through all that again. So they decided to take this weekend and get away for a little bit. And so I graciously, humbly took his place. And so I'm up here today to share something that's been on my heart for a while. And I shared some of it with the staff. And then that's my electric personality. I'm just grounding out the whole system. Pastor Jim this week asked me what I'm going to be preaching about. And I was like, I'm going to preach on love. Love. And he goes, I dare you to call it love is love. And I was like, and then he goes, no. Real quickly, he backtracked on that because he knew I would take him up on that dare. I really wanted to call it that, just to I don't know, embarrass him or something. But so today I am talking about love, specifically on how we are to love one another. I was reading in the Beatitudes. You guys ever read the Beatitudes? Matthew chapter 5. Jesus has this really long sermon that lasts for like three or four chapters, and he starts with the Beatitudes, which is all the different blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit, things like that. And I just imagine myself sitting on that mountainside, listening to Jesus preach, just looking in awe at this pastor this preacher, this rabbi who's not like any other rabbi who preaches with such authority and like with his own voice instead of quoting all the other rabbis and saying, this is what so-and-so said. And just reading the scripture, Jesus was speaking as if speaking the words. I mean, of course, when Jesus is speaking, he is speaking the words of God. But I mean, because, you know, Jesus is God. Whatever he says is the word of God. And he is the word. But anyway, so I just imagine myself sitting there staring at him in awe, just listening to these words that are just so edifying, washing over me. And he begins with one of the most encouraging pieces of scripture that I've read, at least that's what I thought, you know, because he starts off I just imagine just checking off all these things. Oh, I'm going to get that blessing. I'm going to get that blessing. I fulfill that. Like he's talking about me. And so I just imagine he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. I don't really know what that means, Jesus, but I'm poor. And you promised a kingdom for those people, so I'll take it, right? Check. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I definitely have experienced mourning. Check. I fulfill that one. Blessed are the humble. Well, if Moses was the most humble man to walk the earth, that's somebody to live up to, but, well, I'm a close second. Check. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Check. Blessed are the merciful. Well, I can't think of anybody I wasn't merciful to. I mean, I don't go out of my way to show mercy a lot of times, but, you know, I'm merciful. Check. I'll take that one. Blessed are the pure in heart. Well, how pure do you have to be, Jesus? I mean, I start comparing myself to all the people around. Well, I got to be more pure than Judas, right? Check. Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, I love peace. I love keeping peace. You know, I avoid conflict. I hate it. I don't want to be around it. I don't want anybody to be upset at me. I don't want to make anybody upset. I don't want anybody to not like me. I'm just very uncomfortable, you know. So I love peace. Yeah, I'm a peacemaker. Double check. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Oh, man, am I persecuted. I mean, I've had people call me Jesus freak and make fun of me for being a Christian. Maybe that's really not persecution, but, you know, 7 out of 8 ain't bad. I get all these blessings. But Jesus continues talking. He continues preaching. He doesn't end right there. If he ended right there, it'd be like a nice, warm, fuzzy sermon. But he didn't. He kept going, and he started talking about how Christians are to behave, how we are to live if we're followers of Jesus. And he first starts talking about being salt and light, right? You're the salt of the earth. Salt loses its saltiness. What good is it? You know, I might be a little salty in my attitude, but I don't know if that's the kind of salt Jesus is talking about. Sometimes I like to say my love language is sarcasm, but and we rag on each other all the time. Yeah. It's so easy, especially with Chandra right there. Yeah. And then he talks about light, how we're the light of the world. And I'm thinking, am I consistently shining Jesus' light in my life? Am I letting people see the light that he put in me? And I might have to go back and start amending my checklist. Maybe I don't really fulfill all of these things. Jesus began equating hate with murder. That's like taking it next level, right? If you hate somebody, you've murdered them in your heart. And lust with adultery. And he says we should always tell the truth, never break our promises. And I'm like, ooh, I'm starting to look not so good here. And he says, go above and beyond for other people when they ask you to do something, even if it's not just. Even if they don't deserve it. Just do your best and give more than you think you can. Be generous. Don't judge people. Pursue God. Oh, and then he like finishes that whole section with, oh yeah, and hey guys, it's a lot harder to get into heaven than you think. And I'm like, I definitely need to go back and start erasing some check marks here. Because am I really worthy of all these blessings? Am I really humble? Am I really merciful if I don't go out of my way to show mercy? Am I really pure in heart? Probably not. Do I consistently obey his commands? Do I obey the greatest command, to love Jesus with everything I am? To love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do I really love others? One piece of scripture, this is the main scripture that has been constantly gnawing at my heart, at least this year. Romans 12, 9 and 10. And I prefer the New Living Translation for this because it breaks it down into a way that my simple, smooth brain can understand. Romans 12, 9 and 10 says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Sometimes I feel like that's easy to do, right? Because when you got people that love you back, or they love you first, you know, then it's easier to show them honor. It's easier to love those kinds of people. But what about people that you have conflict with? What about people that you're fighting with when there's disagreement, when there's offense? It gets a lot muddier. It gets a little harder to love those people. And we just recently had our VBS here at New Life, and it was great, right? And I love the piñata of John. Oh, was that not what it was for? Oh. Anyway, I loved VBS. It was great because the one reason why I love VBS is because we take biblical truths and we simplify them into like one statement that the kids can remember. And many times as adults, I think we kind of need that too. just a simple message. This is shine Jesus light. That's what the simple message was for VBS. And Jesus said that we are the light of the world. That we shouldn't hide it. Like nobody grabs a lamp in their house, lights it, and then puts it under a bowl, right? It doesn't make any sense. It's to light the room. And a city on a hill, you can't hide that. It lights up the whole place for all to see. Jesus says that's what we are. We should be doing that. And we should actively display the light that he's put in us for everyone to see. We shouldn't hide it. So what does it look like to shine Jesus' light? Well, from VBS, this is what I learned. And it's kind of a call and response type of thing. So we say this biblical truth and finish it with shine Jesus' light all together, right? Okay, you guys ready? You guys ready for this? Ready for VBS? All right. So when life feels dark, shine Jesus' light. When people don't get along,
shine Jesus' light.
When good things happen, shine Jesus' light. When people are sad, shine Jesus' light. When people need help, shine Jesus' light. These are simple and easy concepts to understand. If we get it, and we're like, yeah, we should do that. You should shine Jesus' light. And it's easy for kids to adopt these ideas. But for some reason, we adults like to complicate it. You're like, I don't know. I don't like feeling uncomfortable. Going out of my way to shine light on somebody who's walking through something dark. That's uncomfortable. It's not easy. When people don't get along, like, blessed are the peacemakers. I looked up the word peacemaker in the dictionary, and that's somebody who mediates between two people. That's a mediator to resolve a conflict. Like, do I go out of my way to make peace, to help people resolve conflict? No, I avoid it. That's uncomfortable. When good things happen, what about those people that I don't really like and they get the promotion over me or something like that? I'm supposed to celebrate with them that they got something that I didn't? It's not fair. Or when people are sad, oh man, that brings me down too. But it says, mourn with those who mourn, or weep with those who weep. Cry with them. Get in their place. Shine Jesus' light. When people need help, man, especially like on moving day or something, you know, I promise when I move again, I won't ask anybody to help. I'm hiring somebody to do that. But when you're young, you're like, who's got a truck? That's why I never wanted a truck when I was younger. Because people would be like, hey, he's got a truck. Ugh. Shine Jesus' light. All right. But like, we don't want to feel uncomfortable. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to risk rejection. We don't want to be invested. It's easier that way. And I have my own problems to deal with. I've been burned too many times trying to shine Jesus' light. What if I just end up offending them, you know? Because sometimes light is offensive. You ever been like in the dark or something, and then you, like, the security guard, oh, maybe I'm outing myself, shines light in your face. What are you doing? I don't know. Who are you? But yeah, sometimes you might end up offending somebody or being hurt yourself. There are a million and one excuses that I've come up with myself to not shine Jesus' light. But what if I do it anyway? What's the worst that could happen? I get rejected. I get offended. I get hurt. Or they get offended. What if I'm not rejected this time? What if a relationship is healed? What if conflict is resolved? What if God moves in a way that I never could have imagined? Matthew 5:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all those who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. It's not about us. Like, we don't shine Jesus' light because we are about us. We're a little selfish. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to be uncomfortable. But it's about Jesus. He said, let your light shine so they may see the good that you're doing and give glory to God. That's gospel thinking. Point people to Jesus. Shining Jesus' light means we will be seen, right? We're risking exposing ourselves. We're going to be seen. We'll be seen by people who need it, who need the light. We'll be seen by people who've been living in darkness for a very long time. Like I said, many people find that unpleasant when the light comes on in the dark. But think back to your teenage years. My mom's over there. Have you ever been woken up by your mother coming in, singing, maybe a little bit off key, "Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory," while throwing open the curtains? Wake up. My mom did exactly that, even on the weekends. And I found it very offensive. I don't think she understood the meaning of sleeping in. But those are the memories that I have of my mother's love. Willing to offend me, to shine the light of a new day on me and wake me up from my slumber. Shining Jesus' light is often like that. Sometimes it's best to do it softly and gradually. But it takes prayer and wisdom and patience to know the best way. We have to be in communion with God all the time. The point is, it takes willingness to risk offense and personal discomfort and even a little bit of pain. It takes sacrifice. That's what we're commanded to do, though. We may fail in doing the right thing. We may make mistakes in the process. But I believe attempting to do what is right is far better than doing nothing at all. Let me read from Romans 12 again. This time it's CSB. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good, love one another deeply as brothers and sisters, take the lead in honoring one another. Do not lack diligence and zeal, be fervent in the Spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer, share with the saints in their needs, pursue hospitality." Who has a little bit of trouble with hospitality? Introverts in here? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. These are like all the things we naturally want to do, right? Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We shine Jesus' light by truly loving one another. We shine Jesus' light by serving one another and being the first to show honor, even if it's not deserved. When good things happen in the lives of others, even those we struggle to love, we shine Jesus' light by rejoicing with them. When people are suffering, we shine Jesus' light by weeping with them, by taking on their burden. We shine Jesus' light by doing everything we can to make peace with the people around us. I mean, wow. It sounds so simple. It sounds too hard. I had a friend and mentor in college that used to say, "Man, get off the cross," every time I complained about something or somebody. I'd be like, "Whoa, that's a little harsh. Get off the cross. I'm not trying to take Jesus' place." But he was a little unforgiving. But his point, and a little hyperbolic, but his point was clear to me. Jesus commands me to love people. So I should love people. It's hard to love people. How much harder was it for Jesus to love me and every other sinner by willingly suffering humiliation and torture and death for our benefit? That's what he meant by get off the cross. Isaiah 53:5 says, this is talking about Jesus, "But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds." Now, are we commanded to be like Jesus, to walk in his steps, to suffer for the benefit of others, to really love others and shine his light? I think so. I think it's what the Bible says. Here's just a few examples of that. 1 John 2:5-6, "But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked." A lot of us think, yeah, I need to walk like Jesus, but we don't think that means going to a cross. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For you were called to this, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps." An example of suffering for us, for our benefit. Ephesians 5:1-2, "Therefore be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave Himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God." Walk. Imitate Jesus, who sacrificed Himself for love. Remember the passage of Scripture I read from Romans earlier that tells us to love one another? It's Romans 12, starts in verse 9. The beginning of the chapter, I think, kind of explains how. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I used to think of that in terms of my relationship between me and God, or me and Jesus. And, you know, I'm giving a sacrifice to you, like I'm laying myself down for you. But he's talking about, like, I've in writing this, I've come up with a new kind of understanding of the Scripture for myself, that I should be laying my life down for other people. I should be sacrificing my comfort, sacrificing, risking conflict even, risking offending people to sacrifice for them. Living sacrifice. It means we live a life where we sacrifice for others, and that's how we worship God. We love one another. Do you know what the world thinks love is? I mean, the world's definition of love is very selfish. It's you see it in all the media, you see it in all the movies, you see it in rom-coms and things like that. They get you to root for the people that fall in love, you know, kind of like by accident. Oh, oops, I ran into this person. Oh, I have feelings of love. and you want them to, like, get them together. You want to ship them, right? And you forget, the movies make us forget, that the relationships they were in with other people at the beginning of the film mattered also. Like, you know what, like, my favorite example would be Sleepless in Seattle. Like, she was about to get married. She's like, "I gotta go to the Empire State Building. I gotta find out if I love." Gotta find out? You are about to commit to marriage to this person, and you gotta go find out if you love somebody else that you've never met. We glorify that over what love actually is, over commitment. And the world likes to, says that love is letting me do what I want, letting me be who I am, no matter the consequences to myself or to other people. They say love is love. Okay. And Bud Light is toilet water. We can't be defining terms by, we can't be defining our terms by themselves, right? There are all kinds of love. The Greeks even had different words for the different kinds of love. And there's like romantic love, familial love, a general love for people, an unconditional love. And then there's this crazy love that I don't think we even come close to. It's this love that God has for sinners. For sinners. And we don't really, I don't think we think about what that word actually means. Love is not the same all across the board. God defines love for us. I mean, God is love, right? Biblical love, the love that he's calling us to, is more than just feelings of love. Feelings, our feelings are fleeting. They change all the time. They betray us all the time. Jesus says love is sacrifice. Love is a choice. And before we even thought about loving God, he loved us first. Right? Romans 5:8 says, "But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Sinners, that means in rebellion against God. Wanting to be our own gods, to decide for ourselves. That's what a sinner is. And it's Jesus loved us when we were in rebellion against him. And look at John 3:16. It's one of the most memorized verses in the Bible. And we memorize it and we kind of forget what all the words mean. We kind of gloss over some of it. And, you know, when I learned it in the NIV. And we learned, for God so loved the world. And in my teenage mind, that means we love the scripture. I love that scripture because in my brain, it meant God loved us so much. Like I've caught a fish so big, you know. God loved us so much that he made this huge sacrifice. You know, I think it's true that God feels affection for us, that he feels love for us, but that's not what the verse is saying. And the CSB helps clear this up. The Bible that we use here. And it says, for God loved the world in this way. So it's more like, for God so loved the world means for God loved the world like this. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's what Romans 5:8 says. He proved his love. He did it. He showed it. He demonstrated it. It's a demonstration of what true love is. And DC Talk, I think, said it best. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you heard. The word love.
Love.
Love is a verb. Down with the DC Talk, right? We can't wait until we feel love to show it. I've found that many times my feelings follow my actions. When I start serving somebody, when I start showing love to somebody, I begin to feel compassion and love for them. Love is doing. And this brings me back to Romans 12:9. Let love, this is my version, Jeff Creech version. Let love be without hypocrisy. Don't pretend to love people. Don't just say you love people. Show it. Do it. Prove it. Like Jesus did. In 1995, speaking of DC Talk, they released an album called Jesus Freak, right? And I was 15 at the time, and I remember it being the first Christian album that I was willing to blast loudly to annoy everybody around me. Like, I'm going to turn this one up. And it's on the fourth track on that album is called What If I Stumble? And it opens with this lo-fi, crackly voiceover quoting a man named Brennan Manning. And it starts off, and it sounds like, you know, like an old recording, you know. And it says, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Who in here remembers that on that album? Yeah. Well, as a 15-year-old, that really affected me. I'm like, I'm not going to be one of those Christians. I'm going to go to church, I'm going to worship God, and I'm going to go out and be the same person I am inside these walls. And I don't know if that quote is actually entirely accurate. I don't know what statistics it's based on. But it does ring true. Like hypocritical people kind of turn you off, right? And Jesus said, by this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. And I think that's interesting, and it's very telling that the distinguishing factor of this group of people, Christians, from all other people is just the love that we have. Demonstration of love amongst its own members. They will know who we follow because we love. Love is the difference. That's just the bare minimum. You know, if we can't even love one another, then we're no different than any other group. And if we can't shine the light of Jesus inside the church, then how are we going to shine the light of Jesus outside the church? How can we be that city on a hill providing hope for people lost in darkness, hurting, broken? And I'm not up here to complain about how New Life Church is doing a terrible job shining Jesus' light. On the contrary, I think most of the time we're pretty good at it. I mean, if somebody walked in here with everybody greeting, they'd be like, what's going on? Everybody looks so happy. And they're high-fiving and hugging and having conversations and not listening to whoever's up on the platform. That's my salty attitude. Where was I? So I think we do a pretty good job at this at New Life Church, but we do have our misses. We do make mistakes. Even when we do the right thing, it's often hard and messy. And we get tired, and sometimes we get hurt. But the church exists so that we can bear one another's burdens, and we can lift one another up, we can hold each other up, and demonstrate the love of Jesus to one another, and to a world full of lost people. That's where Galatians 6:2 comes in. Galatians 6:2 says, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And Ephesians 4:1 through 3 says, therefore I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. Walk worthy of the calling you have received. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I think I like the verbiage there, bearing with one another in love. Loving people, like it, the world thinks it shouldn't be that hard. You just feel it. But if we got to bear with one another, that means love sometimes is hard. We're far from perfect at this. We're people. People are messy. The only difference between us and other groups of people is simply that we have recognized our need for a Savior, and we follow Him. And if we can see that, then we know how much the people out in the world that don't know Jesus need Him too. And if you want to know the truth, the ones in leadership are people too. Just like everyone else, our passion for what we do ebbs and flows. Our tanks sometimes run on empty. I mean, you saw Jim's heart last year. We have blind spots. We have miscommunications. We have missteps. Sometimes we have really bad days. Not making excuses, but Moses was a great leader of Israel. When he grew tired and weary, when it was most important, he needed help, others to hold him up. And when those that he led held him up, Israel overcame their enemy. And it's the same with the church. We need to hold one another up. The only difference in the church is that the same Holy Spirit that conquered the grave is in all of us. We have the power to lift one another up. We have the power to shine Jesus' light in the darkness, in the good times, when people need help, when people are sad. We shine Jesus' light. We have an enemy of God's people that wants to stir up divisions and controversies and anger and hurt and cause bitterness. And the way we fight that is by holding one another up, bearing one another's burdens, standing for one another in unity of purpose. And our purpose is to shine Jesus' light inside and outside the church. It's good to remind ourselves of those simple basics of the gospel and how we who follow the Lord should live it out. So let's go back and review what I learned at VBS. When life feels dark,
shine Jesus' light.
When people don't get along,
shine
Jesus' light. When good things happen,
shine Jesus' light.
When people are sad,
shine
Jesus' light. And when people need help,
shine
Jesus' light. All right. Would you stand with me as I pray? Father, I thank you for my church. I thank you that you created the church. And Father, remind us over and over that the difference between us and the world is love. True love. Love that's hard. Love that sacrifices. Love that endures discomfort. Father, help us, teach us, empower us to shine your light in any situation. Help us to come before you like little children, like you said, and just ask, seek, knock, and receive wisdom, knowledge, the simple truths of the gospel so that we can live it out. Don't let us hide our lights, Lord. Let us shine. I pray that you bless Jim and Chris as they're spending a weekend away. You give them peace and comfort. Help us as a church to shine Jesus' light into their lives. To bear their burdens, to lift them up in prayer, to go out of our way, to show mercy and love. Father, we love you. We praise you. We give you glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Y'all have a good week.